RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. BNPB and TNI build canal plugins to prevent pit fires. 70 celebration of the NAD enters final preparation phase. Bawaslu to monitor village development fund distribution. Now the news in detail. Indonesian National Army TNI and the National Disaster Management Agency BNPB are joining hands to build canal blockings in South Kalimantan in a bid to prevent land and forest fires. The decision was made following a meeting between BNPB Chief William Rampalingi and TNI Commander General Gatot Nurmantio with the Environment Ministry and local authorities. BNPB spokesman Sutopo Purwonugroho said on Friday that the Army will prepare a battalion of seni and excavators for the construction of the canal blocking. While the Minister of Public Works and Public Housing and the private sectors will help with providing additional equipment and machineries. Sutopo said that the idea and instruction to construct the canal blocking came from President Joko Widodo during his short visit to South Kalimantan yesterday. The President asked BNPB and local government to prioritize prevention as a more effective solution in addressing land and forest fires. Chief Armed Forces Information Center Major General Endan Sodi said that the preparation for the 17th celebration of Indonesian Armed Forces TNI Day is entering the final preparation phase. The Armed Forces Day is annually celebrated on October 7th, and this year the celebration will be held at Indakiat Beach, Cilegon, Banten Province. Previously at the National Palace, Armed Forces Chief General Gatot Nurmantio said that this year's Armed Forces Day will feature air and sea combat, which will involve Air Force and Navy personnel. MHA of Task General Mulyono said that the Armed Forces Day celebration will be under the control of the Armed Forces Headquarters and will involve about 5,500 personnel. He said the Army will not be participating in the combat demonstration but will be involved in martial arts. The Army will not be using its main weaponry system for the shooting demonstration, but will just be deploying his helicopter and participating fly fast. Beside Ben Center in Cilegon, Armed Forces Day will also be celebrated in each regional military command throughout the country. The Electoral Supervision Agency or Bawaslu said that they will monitor the distribution of Village Development Fund 2015, which has been delivered since early this month. Bawaslu claimed that the monitoring is meant to prevent corruption by incumbent candidates. Bawaslu Chief Daniel Sukron said that his party ensures the supervision program will run accordingly by employing the regional election supervisors in the region. He emphasized the importance of ensuring the distribution of funds and that it should not be corrupted for the sake of political campaign. He added that Bawaslu has netted cooperation with several associated ministries as well as affiliated institutes, which can result in generating the picture of rural fund distribution seemed. The concern arises in light of the upcoming regional election, which will take place on December 9, 2015. The election will cast 266 regions, 191 of which was incumbent candidates. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian finance analyst Lucky Bayu Purnomo said on Tuesday that if rupiah reaches 15,000 rupiah per US dollar, there will be many banks threatened with collapsing. A stress test that showed banks could still survive at 16,000 per dollar only applies for large banks. From the fiscal asset, Lucky said, the slump in the rupiah, which really reaches 15,000 rupiah per dollar, currently impacts on the increase of the value of banks' non-performing loans, NPL. Meanwhile, the monetary aspect impacts higher rate of inflation. Previously, Economic and Financial System of Deposit Insurance Agency LPS Group Director Muhammad Dodi Arifianto said the Indonesian bank is still under control after rupiah hits 18,000 rupiah per dollar. This can be seen from this year's bank capital adequacy ratio that have reached 20%, LPS Acting Executive Chief Fauzi Ihsan said. He added that until now there has not been any indications for the Financial Service Authority to divert failed public banks to the LPS. Meanwhile, the Jakarta Composite Index JCI rose 6.3 points or 0.15% to 4,250.73 at the Friday's opening, as the investor risk appetite was still limited due to lack of positive sentiments in the market. The LQ45 index advanced 0.23% to 709.47. Head of Research NHK Korindo Sekuriti Indonesia Reza Priyambada said, as quoted by Antara News Agency, that JCI advanced slightly. Some investors were collecting a limited number of shares, but then it swung back to the negative area due to lack positive news that forced investors to sell shares. The external sentiment affecting the market, Reza continued, came from the U.S. Central Bank, the Fed. Fed Chairman Janet Yellen will deliver a speech in New York on Thursday that may lead to a more certain timing for the Fed fund rate increase this year. Head of Research Universal Broker Indonesia Satrio Utomo stated that the weakening rupiah against US dollar would keep pressuring the stock market. It said that the continued rupiah depreciation will be the main factor for the GCIC. As you say, for the GCI. The last item, the government of Indonesia vows to immediately resolve the new regulation related to the stock release for mining permit holders. Secretary General of the Energy and Mineral Resource Minister, Teguh Pamuji, said on Friday that although the regulation will be issued, the divestment implementation of PT Freeport Indonesia will still continue. The mineral degree draft, which is currently a new divestment legal protection, will be issued in the near future. The formulation will be waiting for the revision approval PP77-2014 on mineral and coal mining business activity implementation as the main regulation. Teguh was reluctant to comment on the related substance for this special regulation. He confirmed that the new regulation on the mandatory divestment will be more complex, thus guaranteeing legal certainty. Freeport will be releasing 10.64% of its shares next month. If the divestment runs well, this will mean that 20% of Freeport's share will be earned by Indonesia this year. Previous CEO Mahrub Samsudin said that the company is ready to release 30% of its shares gradually until October 2019. The divestment will be done through an exchange with initial public offering IPO schematic. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, here is commentary entitled The Grand Mosque of Moscow is a sign for President Vladimir Putin to get closer with Muslim. In 1959, the President of the Republic of Indonesia, Sukarno, visited a mosque in Moscow, Russia. A video when the President Sukarno visited the mosque was played during the inauguration of the Grand Mosque of Moscow, which was rebuilt into the largest one in Europe with a capacity of 10,000 jama'ah or worshippers. Indeed, the mosque has been rebuilt because the old mosque, which was built in 1904, was only able to accommodate 2,000 worshippers. In 2011, the mosque was torn down for expansion reason. On September 23rd, the mosque was inaugurated by the President of Russia, Vladimir Putin, and it was witnessed by the President of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Although this is a place for worship for the Muslims, the mosque named Mosque Cathedral played a key role for the Islamic Ummah of Russia in the period before the communists came to power. Muslims in Moscow have proposed the construction of a mosque in the late 19th century to the municipal authority. The new license came out in 1903 and the construction was completed in 1904. After being inaugurated by President Putin, the mosque is named Grand Mosque or Moscovic Moscow Soborny Mechet. Proudly, President Putin also claims as the largest mosque in Europe. In his speech on last Wednesday, President Putin wanted this mosque as a center of spirituality and education to unite all religions. Russia is a state of multi-ethnics and religion. On the occasion, President Putin also praised the Russian Muslim leaders who do not tolerate extreme actions. He pointed out that the Muslims of Russia have also gained major contribution to the history of Russia. He also invited Muslims to join in fighting against extremism such as ISIS. Currently, Russia is engaged in a war against ISIS in Syria by sending more than 2,000 troops. The number of Muslims in Russia is the second rank in population by reaching around 15% or about 20 million people of the total population of Russia after Orthodox Christianity. President Putin takes the heart of the Muslims by fighting ISIS. However, he faces a major dilemma because Russia also faces a hostile act committed towards the Chechens who are Muslim majority. President Putin, who is also aware that the neighboring countries in the south, the former countries of the Soviet Union, and the fractions of West Asia are also inhabited by Muslims. President Vladimir Putin seems to play a major role compared to the other leaders of the West who do not give a good relation with the leaders of the Muslim world. In the midst of economic slowdown which also hit Russia, President Putin wants good relation with the Muslim world by helping to increase its popularity among the Muslims and boosting Muslim countries' economic relations with the Russia. Well, listener, that was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin today's edition by going back to September 25th, 2003, when the big earthquake hit Hokkaido, Japan. Big earthquake hit Hokkaido, Japan on September 25th, 2003. It reached 8.3 Richter scale and caused widespread damage, destroying almost all infrastructures in Hokkaido, causing landslides and creating 4-meter tsunami. The quake that was felt in whole Japan injured many people and fortunately killed nobody. Listener, we continue with an event on September 25, 1962. Democratic Republic of Algeria was officially established. After the Second World War, Algeria kept struggling against the French colonialism in North Africa. In 1954, National Liberation Front, also known as FLN, launched guerrilla against the French. After 8 years physical struggles in the cities and the villages, the FLN successfully drove the French away in 1962. Then, in September 25, 1962, Algeria claimed its independence and elected Ferhat Abbas as its first president and Ahmed Ben Bella as the prime minister. But the emergence of the new rulers in Algeria has made around 1 million Pianwa, the mixed people of native and European, especially French, becoming restless. And this made 91,000 Harki, the pro-French Algerian Muslim, or almost 10% of Algerian population in 1962, moving into the French. Listener, it seems that we will end today edition of Today in History with an event on 2008, with China launched the third human spaceflight mission. This mission was more risky because for the first time, the Chinese astronaut walked in space. The Chinese Air Force Colonel Zhai Jingang was selected to perform the mission. Long March 2F rocket, which brought Shenzhou 7, was launched from Jiquan Satellite Launch Center on Thursday, September 25, 2008, bringing three astronauts into the space. Their mission this time was 86-hour trip to the space and then go back into the Earth, including the spacewalking 373 kilometers above the Earth. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back to Focus, over at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition features anticipating population dynamics. Listener, population dynamics has a key role in creating sustainable future development. Therefore, development approach should not only be supported by production and consumption, but also considering the needs of current and next generations. That was the message conveyed in the National Seminar on Population and Sustainable Development initiated by the United Nations Population Fund, or UNFPA, in Jakarta, Monday, September 21st. Opened by Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla, the seminar was attended by Coordinating Human Development and Culture Minister Puan Maharani and the United Nations Resident Coordinator Douglas Broderick. In the seminar, Yusuf Kalla said that big population is not a burden, but an advantage depending on the management. Large number of working force and consumer is an appeal in the world. Nevertheless, the total population of Indonesia is expected not to be excessive, but the decrease in population growth rate is not too extreme as well. Director of UNFPA for Indonesia, Jose Ferraris, said that Indonesia is experiencing several demographic trends. He also added that Indonesia's peak population will keep on growing, accompanied by the slowing growth rate along with the rapid urbanization. The head of the National Demography and Family Planning Agency, or BKKBN, Surya Chandra Surapati, explained that according to the 2010 census, Indonesia has 237 people with 1.49% growth rate per year. Development Planning Board, or Bappenas, predicted that in 2035, Indonesia will have 305 people, with growth rate decreasing into 0.26% annually. This condition will encourage the needs of housing, energy, food, clean water, health service, and education. The future challenge in population is not only about fulfilling basic needs of the population, but also increasing its quality. In 2013, Indonesian Human Development Index was on the 108th rank of 187 countries in the world, increasing population with low quality. Besides that, the trend experienced by Indonesia was change in age structure. It made dependency ratio of non-productive age ranging from 0 to 14 years old and the elderly against the productive ones decreasing. The demographic bonus will reach its peak on 2028 and 2031. Surya Chandra said that 2015 is strategic because the National Midterm Development Plan has just begun. This year, there will be Inter-Sensal Population Survey, Integrated Database Update, National Social Economic Survey, and Family Data Collection. All of them are important in describing current population condition and deciding the future development policies. Meanwhile, in Population Dynamics and Sustainable Development in Indonesia, Emil Salim explained that by utilizing the high working force number and the decreasing dependency ratio of the non-productive age against the productive age, Indonesia can strengthen its economy. The situation should be anticipated by Indonesian government by harmonizing education with work demand. Other demographic trend was Indonesian mobility will turn from permanent into non-permanent or short-term. Mobility or migration issue was neglected, even though it will affect changes in the family structure, lifestyle, and fertility pattern. Well, listener, that was Focus.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, to inform you some headline of national newspaper published in Jakarta on Friday 25th of September 2015. Well, we start from Media Indonesia. In its headline, Media Indonesia writes, the Minas repeated accident, Mina incident, in Saudi Arabia reoccurred this year, in which many victims were trampled and crushed to death when they were fighting to cross the rope 204 towards Jamara, Mina to throw Jumrah Agaba. The incident became the cause of death of more than 700 pilgrims from all over the countries, while more than 800 were injured. This tragedy is the seventh incident and the second largest since 1990. They claimed the lives of more than 1,400 were survivors. To avoid Mina tragedy, pilgrims in Indonesia, as you say, Indonesian pilgrims are asked to follow instructions of Hajj Committee. Still related to the tragedy in Mina, Sindo newspaper writes three Indonesian pilgrims died in the Mina incident. Two of them are worshippers of origin, embarkation from Surabaya, Java and Batam, Rio province, while one another person has not been identified, but he or she is thought to come from Probolinggo, Java. In addition to casualties, it was reported that there is also an Indonesian pilgrim who is severely injured and is undergoing a medical treatment in hospital at An-Nur, Mekah. Until last night, the number of deaths and the wounded continues to grow. Saudi Civil Defense Authorities reported more than 717 pilgrims died and 863 were injured. Meanwhile, Republika newspaper also writes about the tragedy of Mina. In its headline, Republika Daily writes, the group leader of the fleet 48 Surabaya confirmed that the third death of Mina incidents comes from Probolinggo, East Java. The group leader also said that he saw another victim who died at the time of Mina incident. Meanwhile, the head of the group 3 SOC 24 from Solo, Muslid, said that hundreds of Indonesian pilgrims were certainly in Jalan 204, the location of the Mina incident. He admitted being separated from his entourage consisting of 45 people when the pilgrims panic. He claimed not to know the fate of his entourage. Well, listener, Tempo newspaper also writes about the Mina tragedy. In its headline, Tempo said that Iranian authorities accused that Saudi Arabia make a mistake in setting safety standards, so that hundreds of pilgrims died, including at least 15 Iranian pilgrims. Head of Iranian Hajj organization Said Ohadi said, for unclear reasons, road has been closed near the crash site where the incident occurred. According to him, it was thought to be the cause of casualties in Mina. Listener, those were some headlines published by some national paper in Jakarta today. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesian National Army TNI and the National Disaster Management Agency BNPB are joining hands to build canal blockings in South Kalimantan in a bid to prevent land and forest fires. Chief of Armed Forces Information Center Major General Endan Solik said that the preparation of the 70th celebration of Indonesia Armed Forces TNI Day is entering the final preparation phase. The Electoral Supervision Agency, or Bawaslu, said that they will monitor the distribution of Village Development Fund 2015, which has been delivered since early this month. Bawaslu claimed that the monitoring is meant to prevent corruption by incumbent candidates. Indonesian finance analyst Lucky Bayu Purnomo said on Tuesday that if rupiah reaches 15,000 rupiah per dollar, there will be many banks threatened with collapse. The Jakarta Composite Index, JCI, rose 6.3 points or 0.15% to 4,250.73 at the Friday's opening, as the investor risk appetite was still limited due to lack of positive sentiment in the market. The government of Indonesia vows to immediately resolve the new regulations related to the stock release for mining permit holders. Secretary General of the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry Teguh Pamuji said on Friday that although regulations will be issued, the divestment implementation of PT Freeport Indonesia will still continue. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia. Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Batam in Riau Islands Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Batam is the largest city in the province of Riau Islands. The town, which consisted of three islands, namely Batam, Galang and Rempang, is surrounded by ocean, so the marine tourism destinations become one of the favorite destinations in the city. Now, we invite you to come to one of marine destinations in Batam City, namely Nyirup Island. It is located southwest adjacent to Batam Island. The Nyirup Island seemed quiet from a distance. When arriving on the edge of the Yi Island's beach, you will be greeted by brown sand with rows of palm trees. The coastal area of the island is grown with dense mangroves, while the other side, there are typical trees of tropical forest as habitat of wildlife such as monkeys, lizard, and seabird. With the topographical islands, during you visit the island, you can camp, set up tents, and spend the night there. Moreover, a fairly long coastline plus the natural bed of sand make the island suitable to organize various beach sport activities, such as beach volleyball and beach soccer. For those of you who want to do snorkeling, Nyirup Island can also be a favorite place. Coral reefs are grown well here, as well as marine habitats such as colorful fish and other marine life. Listener, Nyirup Island is actually located in the northern part of the bay, which is adjacent to the Puchan Island. Due, it is flanked by a cluster of islands. The waves and the winds that hit the island is relatively quiet, so it is not danger those who want to swim or do other water activities. From the west side of Nyirup Island, you can also freely look at Pemping Island, inhabited by several fishermen families. While in the southern side, along the eye can see, there are a row of skyscrapers from neighboring countries, Singapore. Listener, to go to Nyirup Island, you need to go from Batam to Sekupang Ferry Port. From the port, you have to take a boat to the Belakang Padang sub-district. The tickets is around 10,000 rupiah per person for one way. From Belakang Padang, continue your journey by hiring a boat to the Nyirup Island. The rental price depends on the deal with the boatman. It takes about 20 minutes from Belakang Padang to Nyirup Island. Before going to Nyirup Island, make sure you bring some foods, because the island is not yet available restaurants. For those of you who want to stay overnight, there is no hotel here. but you can set up a tent near the beach, as I mentioned before. Make sure you have to bring your camping equipment. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topics Nyirup Island. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Well, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Dee. In today's edition, we take you to find out about the legend of Loro Jonggrang. Legend or folktale is considered as the best way for the Indonesian young generation to learn history. One of popular folktales in Indonesia is the legend of Loro Jonggrang. This legend is story behind the majestic Prambanan Temple, which is said to be built by demons of Prince Bandung Bondowoso from Pengging Kingdom. She is a beautiful, kind, and compassionate princess from Prambanan Kingdom named Loro Jonggrang. The beauty of Loro Jonggrang has been known that she attracts Bandung Bondowoso. Without thinking twice, Bandung Bondowoso then asked Loro Jonggrang to become his wife. The hatred of Loro Jonggrang to Bandung Bondowoso, who has killed his father, in a war makes her refuse the proposal. Loro Jonggrang is not only beautiful but also smart. Because she feels she cannot fight against Bandung Bondowoso alone, Loro Jonggrang then gives a requirement to Bandung Bondowoso in order to propose her. Building 1,000 temples in one night is the requirement that Bandung Bondowoso has to meet to marry Loro Jonggrang. Bandung Bondowoso then asks demons to help him build 1,000 temples. Before the 1,000th temple is built, Loro Jonggrang and her lady's maid sound paddy pounding tool named Alu. The sounds of Alu makes chicken to crow, which means the sun has shone. It makes the demons gone and makes Bandung Bondowoso outraged. The anger of Bandung Bondowoso is not over yet. Knowing that the day is still dark, Bandung Bondowoso then curses Loro Jonggrang into stone and completes the 1,000th Prambanan Temple. That the story behind the magnificent Prambanan Temple. The popular story completes the beauty of Prambanan Temple in Central Java. Well, boy listener, that ends today's miscellany on the legends of Loro Jonggrang. I'm Dee Nugraha. Thank you for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, D in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's religious edition presents you a dangdut singer named Juwita Bahar. All right, listener, to begin the show, let's listen to a song by Juwita Bahar entitled Oplosan. Happy listening. Listener, Juwita Tovani Tanjaya, or known as Juwita Bahar, was born in Jakarta January 11, 1996, is a dangdut singer from Indonesia. She started gaining fame through a song Maybe Yes Maybe No in a private TV station in 2008. Her name rose more to fame through sinetron or soap opera Neng, produced by MD Entertainment. Various others then come. Well, listener, here is another song by Juwita Bahar, Maybe Yes, Maybe No. Listener through the song Maybe Yes, Maybe No, Juwita gets a chance to follow her mother's path to become a professional singer. Juwita's debut, entitled Maybe Yes, Maybe No, was released on January 26, 2008, composed by Sonny Tulong. In the launching of the album produced by Nagaswara, Juwita asked three children to enjoy games. Besides Juwita, her sister and her mother released an album duet, Heboh, presenting the hit single with the same title. Juwita is getting popular after releasing a single, Buka Dikit Jos. Listener, to end the program, we play you two songs by Herlina Effendi entitled Kereta Malam and Simalakama. Enjoy the song and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
Berhenti, jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-jugi-
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Sudah cukup akhiri mabukmu.
Yang wis cukup penuh anggunmu gendeng. Yo mari-mari yo, yo leren-leren no. Ojo terus terus no.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.